So yeah, but there's certain topics in terms of tales. So do you guys hear me in the back? Should I be using a microphone? I'm pretty loud. Awesome. So hi, I'm Drain. I am the con chair, which means I make all the decisions and tell people what to do. If you've ever come to a panel of mine before, you will know that my MO is to plan to write a script and then to run out of time. So I have no script. I have no idea what I'm about to say. That should make it pretty fun. This is supposed to be funny. This is supposed to be comedy. So, I can just start rambling. I'm pretty good at that. But, does anyone have any questions? Like, about the con? Like, anything at all? Anything you want to know? Preferably not, like, actual attendee questions, because I've been answering those all day. Yeah, anything like the music.
But they're juicy questions.
Yeah.
When did Furadelphia get founded? I know it's recent, but
When did Furadelphia get founded? Cool. So 2016, it was New Year's Furball, 2016. So Higowitz, who keeps poking his head up and providing comments from the peanut gallery, is the vice chair. Basically, what happened was we were sitting in a hotel. We were sitting at New Year's, for anyone who's familiar with New Year's Furry Ball. We were sitting in the hotel, and we're talking about how we had to drive 3 hours to get to the nearest convention to us, being from this area. This table's very unstable. It was meant to hold more than just water, but unfortunately the bar upstairs is closed. And so we're talking about this, and there's like, someone should really start a convention in Philly. And being not sober, we were like, we could do that. We could run it. How hard could it be? And then so the next morning came around, and we sobered up, and it still sounded like a good idea. And so they say that if you come up with an idea while you're shit-faced, and it still sounds like a good idea when you're sober, then it's a really good idea. And it turned out to be a okay idea. pretty good for the community. Okay for our mental health. And not good for our sleep schedule. At all. Or our free time. So, Furadelphia got founded because two drunk guys were like, we shouldn't have to drive 3 hours to go party with furries. We will bring the furries to us, and you are all doing exactly what we wanted you to do. You damn sheep.
Sounds like the perfect novel.
Oh, I can't write a book. It would be far too meandering. Any other questions about Furadelphia background? Like, anything you want to know. The worst thing that I could say is that I'm not telling you that. Or I'll make up an answer. If I actually can't tell you, I'll make up an answer.
Just wanted to point out, we did have, in this area, for 7 years, Anthrocon. There were 2 years at the Hilton and Valley Forge.
Yeah, I politely asked not to talk.
Don't say the A word. Okay.
Yeah.
Biggest go crap moment among staff. Not
the bigot of this convention or of Furadelphia?
Furadelphia.
Furadelphia has been a consistently rolling oh crap moment. It has never not been that. For me, my biggest oh crap moment was, okay, so I'm very good under pressure, especially under time-based pressures. I'm that type of person where I'm sitting in college, if I have 3 weeks to write a paper, I will not open Microsoft Word until I have 2 hours left.
That is unbelievable.
And I get A's on my papers. But
That's how all of us did it.
So, there was a time, so leading through the whole thing, hotel negotiations, because in case you didn't know, we have to sign paperwork to be here.
Wow.
A lot of furries, you go, wow, sarcastically, but a lot of people seem to think that we just kind of show up at a hotel and the hotel's cool with it. That's not exactly how that goes. So all through, like, hotel negotiations, getting, like, merchandise together, like, all this stuff, going through that entire process, I was like, it was so comfortable, so smooth. We were just, like, figuring it out as we go along. None of us had ever worked a convention before, so it's not like we had any kind of background to build upon. We asked other people who ran conventions for assistance. We didn't get a ton of it, but the first, I should say, oh shit moment for me was just we set up registration, we were getting everything ready, and an attendee came to registration. The, like, smallest, skinniest, sweetest looking girl you could possibly imagine walked up very nervously and said, "Excuse me, when do you guys open registration?" Like, 5 hours early. And sitting there, I just, like, felt myself kind of, like, back out of my own skull. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? I can't do this. Like, they, like, someone asked me a question, and everyone in the room just went and looked at me, and I'm like, I'm in charge? Yeah. So that was the first oh crap moment. From there, it has been moment after moment after moment of, like, stressful bullshit that doesn't stop. And I will say that there's two things at fault: technology and you people. And I will happily tell stories about both. Yeah, in the back. There were a few minors.
Oh, okay.
Yep. This panel really should have been marked as 18 plus. I would be there being way more vulgar right now.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the booth.
The most memorable moment with an attendee, whether it be silliest, stupidest, or...
We just had a pretty friggin' memorable moment with an attendee about an hour ago.
Woo!
The most memorable moment with an attendee was probably, and this is one of the two stories that I have on the docket, closing ceremonies.
Yes.
The first year. I know that there is at least a few people here who are specifically here to hear me tell this one story. Because this is probably the most batshit thing to ever happen to me in my entire life.
Does that music have its own side to it as well?
I don't know what Boozy's side is. Oh my lord. The number of people emailing me, like, I don't have a vaccination card. Well, then you're not getting it. Sorry. So, if you were not present, who was at 2017? Not necessarily closing ceremonies, but just the convention. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, that was the first year. Yep. Okay, cool. Who was at closing ceremonies? So you guys know, CIA man. This was the craziest shit to ever happen to me in my entire life. So I'm sitting up there on stage. I'm going to try to be quick about this, because usually when I tell this story, it goes on for like half an hour, because I'm still in disbelief that this actually happened. I'm sitting, Frey's here now. Frey's the director of public safety, everybody.
No.
This is how the stories begin.
We're going to come back next year and be like, so.
Don't worry. Start worrying.
Yeah, oh, I know. Oh, I know.
I think that's your chairman fingers.
No, it's okay. It's just someone causing a scene in the lobby of a casino. That always starts great. for the person causing the scene. So, cool. Here's, anyway, back to then. So, 2017, it was our first year. It was largely held together with duct tape and prayers. And we managed to get it off the ground. You guys have, now that we're like very well established as an actual convention that happens year after year after year with very little issue, I am very comfortable with saying that you guys have no idea how close we came to not having the first year. It was really bad. I'm having flashbacks about it right now. But we made, he knows. But we managed to make it happen, and it turned out to be a pretty great week for a lot of people. There's a shark in the hallway.
Yelling.
All right, well, we can shut the door now.
Closing ceremonies happens, and I'm sitting up on the stage kind of like I am right now, talking to a crowd of people kind of like I am right now, telling them all the wonderful things that happened in 2017, all the people that showed up, and how great everything was, and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, the emergency broadcast tones, like what the government uses to override radio stations, that just started playing from the crowd. And I'm sitting there like, first I thought it was someone's phone. My first thought is, you have that as your ringtone. If you have that as your ringtone, you're a dickhead. Because when that goes off, you're freaking out everyone around you because they're getting ready for a tornado or some shit. So this starts going off, and this guy jumps out of his chair. And, like, he starts going up, like that, literally like this, walking his way through the crowd, comes through the chairs, up the aisle, is walking up to me like this, okay? And I'm sitting here, and I'm like, okay, so the first thing that goes through my head, because I've been through opening and closing ceremonies before, the first thing that goes through my head is, alrighty, first year con chair, my staff are pulling a prank on me. And everyone else on my staff in the room went, okay, Drain is pulling a prank on us. So everyone is treating this like it's completely normal. And so the guy comes up to the stage, and he just goes like that. And I'm like, all right, let's see how this plays out. So he takes the microphone, and he turns around, all right? Now this guy, he is about 2 feet tall, not literally, just very short adult male. He had a hat very similar to this one, except it was all black and it said CIA, as in Central Intelligence Agency, on his friggin' forehead. Now, typically, you can tell if someone is a CIA agent or not, because if they are a CIA agent, they don't wear it on their fucking hat. So I'm pretty sure this guy is not actually with the freaking CIA. And so he turns around with my freaking microphone, Drain said bitterly, and looked at the entire crowd, and he let me know this. This is what he said to the crowd. The people who were in the crowd can tell you, because they were here, heard it with their own ears. This man informed everybody that he was dispatched to the hotel by the Guardians of the Galaxy. not done. I've only begun the sentence. This is one sentence. I haven't even said what happened. He was dispatched to the hotel by the Guardians of the Galaxy to ensure that the National Endowment of the Arts was properly funded. And he was doing this by selling t-shirts. And he opened his backpack and started pulling out t-shirts, going like this, telling people to buy his t-shirts because the Guardians of the Galaxy said it was important. And now I'm sitting here, I'm no longer thinking my staff are pranking me. I'm thinking someone's off his meds. So I look, I don't remember in what configuration the board was, but I look to the person to the right of me, and I'm like, do you know who that is? And they're like, no. And I look to Higowitz, who was to the left of me, and I'm like, do you know who that is? And he's like, do you think I know what the hell is going on at this event at any time? So, no. He didn't say that. He said that with his eyes. And so I, like, leaned forward past the first guy to another guy who was Fred. And I was like, do you know who that is? And he's like, no. And at this point, you can see the audience. They see us going like this, and they're like, oh, that guy's crazy. So the audience is, like, muttering, and we're up there like, oh, boy. So I get up from my chair and walk over here where other people were sitting on the edge of the stage. I get down like this, and I'm like, do any of you know who that guy is? Because I'm trying to find out which of my staff sent him here as a jerk. And so Yuki, who's now our chief technical officer, was sitting right there, and Yuki goes, you don't know who that is? And I'm like, no. Because the tone was said, you don't know who that is? As if I should know who that was. Like, you don't know who that is? That's Ben Affleck. Like, that kind of voice. Like, how do you not know who that is? That was the tone. So I'm like, no, who is it? Like, it's someone important. And they're like, I don't know, but why do they have the microphone? So at this point, it was pretty well solid that this dude was not supposed to be here, definitely not supposed to be talking to my entire audience. So I grabbed a couple people who were in the corner from public safety. I like my public safety people because they're big and they're intimidating. And so I grabbed them and I'm like, cool, that guy? Into the street, please. So they like came up to this guy and they kind of surrounded him and they're like, hey, all right, buddy, we gotta go. And I had no idea how the situation was gonna finish out. But I did not expect that it would finish out like this. The way it finished was as he realized that the man was, like, evicting him from his position, he started screaming. Because we took the microphone from him. He started screaming. Now, Silent Bob, do it now. Do it now, Silent Bob, do it now. He started screaming this, and I'm literally sitting on stage like this. I'm thinking to myself, this is how I die. Because some other lunatic who's currently in the crowd is about to jump up here with a machine gun, and I am going to be pissed. Instead, what happened was he reached into his pocket and threw into the audience a fistful of U.S. currency. I don't know where he got it, but the amount that we retrieved was about $600. And so public safety at that point kind of like carried this man out of opening ceremonies, much to the excitement of the entire crowd. I got my microphone back, and I'm like, all right, don't know what that was, but moving on. finished opening ceremonies. At the end, said my goodbyes. For the record, we took the $600 we donated it to the charity.
We checked it first.
Yeah, we checked it for anthrax first. Oh. It was okay. But we donated it to the charity. But another guy came up and was like, to me afterwards, and was like, so, I don't want you to get the wrong idea, but this guy just handed this to me and produced another stack of money. And was like, he just handed this to me, told me that my name was Silent Bob, and that I would know what to do. And I'm like, did he tell you what the thing you were supposed to do was? No. I have no idea who that was, but I, to this day, sorry, the person who was Silent Bob, I have no idea who that was, but to this day, I cannot believe that he gave that wad of cash back to us. Because I think anyone else would have had some crazy person walk up to them, hand them a handful of like $500, and be like, here, your name's Silent Bob, you'll know what to do. And they'll be like, what to do is go to the mall. We weren't at the casino at the time, we were up the street. But yeah, I think just about anybody else would have been like, rent is paid this month. But yeah, so he brought it back to us, possibly out of fear of anthrax. And I mean, we checked the money, it was good. So that was where it ended for all of you. Where it ended for us was that guy went back to our not-so-fun chit-chat room, which we have every year. We have a room where we take you when we need to talk to you. Not in a good way. We have that room now. But we took this guy to this room. We asked him to have a seat. He told us he didn't want to sit down because the government had been trying to trick him with fake chairs. I wasn't in the room for that, but if I was in the room, I would have been like, well, you're at the CIA, so I feel like tricking people with fake chairs is kind of your department's thing. So have your own people turned on you, or what? I wasn't privy to the conversation, but basically the guy was like, am I under arrest? And we're like, this is a furry convention. What do you think we are? We're like, no, you're not fucking under arrest. We just wanted to find out like what medication you're supposed to be on so that we can hopefully get it to you. It's probably lithium, But he was like, so he's like, am I under arrest? We're like, no, you're not under arrest. We just wanted to talk to you. And he's like, well, I don't want to be here. And we're like, well, we can't kidnap you, so you can leave, but you can't come back for reasons that are hopefully obvious to you. And so the dude, like, got up, we're like, we need your con badge, and he just started walking away, and we're like, bro, you need to give us your con, so we're following him. I'm just telling someone else's story, because I was still at closing ceremonies at this point. I wish Frey had been able to stick around, because he this was his part, but like, this dude's walking, and they're following him, and they followed him out to the parking lot, where he went out to his car and just like started changing his clothes like in the parking lot and then got into his car and like drove around to the front of the hotel where we all still were. We're just like staring at him as he drives by. He sees us looking at him and he's like, and just left the property. Just left. We have no idea who that guy is. Didn't get his badge, so don't know what his name is. And he's never come back. To this day, I cannot believe that that happened to me. And I'm so grateful to still be breathing. Because that could have been so much worse. That is my craziest story involving one attendee. I have a different story involving two attendees. But someone else will have to ask about that. Yeah, Booth.
Is that closing ceremony on YouTube?
It's not. No one recorded it.
Actually, no, wait. Don't interrupt, stop. Someone did record it. It ends, like, right before that started happening. So, I know. I was so upset. I'm like, this. Someone had to film it. Because, like, someone's reaction had to be like, this is some good shit right here. But, yeah, whoever's got that, I know someone was filming it. This is 2017. There's no way no one was filming it. But whoever's got that video is keeping it to themselves. And man, that bums me out. If we ever find it, we will make that public. Because, man, ever that needs to be seen.
Did you ever just talk to the police about what happened?
Can you imagine me telling police officers the story that I just told you? In all seriousness, they would have been like, did you get his name? And we would have been like, no. And they would have been like, well, we can't do anything about that. Unfortunately, without his name, we can't do anything about it. But guys never come back, so it has just turned into one of the best stories I have.
Didn't he say something about, like, vegan space wolves or something like that?
How could I forget the vegan space wolves? What? I missed that part. So I missed, because that was the part where I tuned him out and just started asking everybody, like, who the hell is this guy? But he mentioned the phrase vegan space wolves together. And it is my intention to have that as Furrydelphia merchandise. Actually, that's going in my notes. Did he say that?
We're older than that.
I am literally messaging my board of directors right now. Reminder, vegan space wolves merch. If any of you make vegan space wolves merch, I will kill you. It's ours. Trademark.
What if I made it for you?
I'm not paying you. Nice try. Unless you do a really good job, then I might pay you. But we'll have to talk about that. Yeah.
The blood.
Which one? The second year?
Yes.
Because there were two floods on two different years. And the first flood is my two attendee story, but you didn't ask about that. So, the second flood. God, I don't really have a lot to say about the second flood other than Furrydelphia 2018 started and Saturday mid-afternoon, God was like, fuck you, and decided to downpour literally record amounts of rain. Like, Valley Forge, King of Prussia area got more rain than I think it ever has. And fun fact, this hotel, so we were at the Doubletree, and the Doubletree, the poor banquet manager, or the sales manager, is like standing there with her clipboard as like the gusts and shit is happening outside. She's just like everyone's like, people kept going in and out because furries are nuts, and everyone's like, torrential rain, let's go play. So like, people are coming in and out, and as they're coming in, fucking rain is just pissing off of them, like all through the lobby, the floors, which were made of marble or whatever, we're like all wet. She's like putting down rugs and stuff and telling, like, can you please not go outside and bring water into the... And people are like, some people, the dumbest people ever, are like standing in the vestibule. So you know how there's like double opening doors, like set number one opens, then set number two opens? They're like standing in set number two, or like in the middle, so the sensors are picking them up, and so all the doors are open and water's just flowing in. And they're just standing there like, just looking outside like, wow, sure is raining. As it's like blowing in, and so she's like, can you please not stay in the vestibule? We really need to close the doors. Literally like papers and shit were flying off the front desk. The hotel's like, we have no idea what to do. The kitchen in the back was like getting filled with water. The dealer's den downstairs was like getting filled with water. We had event insurance. I'm like ready to call the insurance company, like everything's flooded. Fortunately, didn't happen. But it did happen in this hotel. This very hotel that we are in right now on this level had 3 feet of water. And you would all be up to your waists in water right now. Yeah, so they completely renovated this like entire level. They're like, I'm talking to them and I'm like, is it going to be done by Furrydelphia next year? And they're like, should be. And I'm like, what do you mean should be? Like, because that's not yes. Fortunately, it was. Almost entirely. But man, that was 2 years in a row that we had flooding. I'm not immediately telling the story about number one. I can't just segue.
That's
like
not
that.
My question.
Go
you
for it.
One for us. What's your best drunk person story?
I don't have a single positive drunk person story.
I wasn't necessarily asking for
you
positive.
People suck when you drink. Just letting you know. You're the worst. I told my board, I was like upstairs a minute ago, like before I started this, and I'm like, you guys want to come down with me? I'm just going to go sit in front of the attendees and roast them. And they're like, no, you're good. So here I am by myself. Yeah. Do I have a good drunk person story? Let me get back to you on a person who's drunk. Most of them are just mean to me. Most of them just walk up and they're like, fuck you. And I'm like, what do I do? They're just like me, for whatever, you know, no reason. Drunk
okay,
people.
Let me phrase
drunk
that
people.
The craziest thing a drunk person has done.
Huh. Probably call the police. And then get damn near every single Upper Marion Township cop here. Like, there was, like, 9 cop cars outside the hotel. Probably, like, 16 officers. I'm standing out there, I'm like, light night, guys? Y'all bored? Got all these cops over to the hotel and then told the cops that I assaulted him. Because what I did was walk up to him and take his con badge off, like, you're being a problem. You are not having this tonight. You can get it back tomorrow. But yeah, all the cops showed up, and he's like, he assaulted me, and I'm like, I took his badge because he's drunk. And they're like, looked at him, and they're like, you're drunk. And they damn near arrested him. I'm like, nice job, buddy. You almost got yourself arrested. 2 seconds. Why are you bothering? Yeah, that's story number one. I can't tell you that. It hasn't come up naturally.
Oh, that's the number one story?
Yeah, that's flood number one.
Oh, okay. I was about to say. Yeah.
Hey, what's jumping the gun?
I have reminded.
Yeah, some dude, like, called the cops to try to, like, stick it to me, and I was standing there, and I'm like, well, I'm sober, and he's drunk, and cops were like, yeah, we see that. So that was funny. Yeah, you in the booth, you had your hand up.
Yeah, so instead of burning your hotel down, we flooded it.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
Okay, so
the DoubleTree was very prone to flooding, apparently. Wait, what? Oh no! So we've never had a fire alarm.
Yet.
Then it's not a real concern. convention.
You're probably right about that. No. We've had enough other shit go down that it might as well be. But yeah, I have no idea how we've managed to avoid that. Imagine it went off right now. That'd be
too many timing.
Yeah, no fire issue. We've had pretty much everything else though. Blackouts. With the DoubleTree. Does anyone here work in electrical?
Kinda.
Okay, cool. So there's this really cool thing where when the power goes out, there are these like lights on the walls. You'll see them. It's like a box with these bug eyes on it. Yeah. And when the power goes out, they're like above all the signs that say Jack Daniels there on the walls. When the power goes out, those are supposed to figure out that the power went out. That's a battery. It's supposed to shine light down so that you can illuminate your emergency pathways. The previous hotel was wired in such a way that when you turned off the lights on the second floor, the regular lights and the emergency lights were on the same circuit.
Oh, no.
So if you turned off the lights, the bug eyes came on. And they had rigged a timer into the lights. So at midnight, it would turn off. And I'm like, so we're active all night, and the lights keep turning off upstairs. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's on a timer. I'm like, cool. Can you make it not on a timer? And they're like, no, it's just on a timer. Man. Yeah, so the hallway was, and the best part is that those have a 90-minute battery. So 12 a.m., regular lights off, bug eyes on. 1:30 a.m., dark as night in the hallways. And let me tell you, I was very tempted to trip over an object. Because I could have got a lot of money. But yeah, I didn't really deal with that, so it didn't happen. But yeah, I don't even remember what the question was at this point. But people should probably wire their buildings according to building code. That would probably be smart.
That's a thing.
Believe it or not, yeah, I have a job because of that. What else we got? Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to mention in one building, I'm not going to say what company it was, we had a situation where the lights went out, the emergency lights didn't go on, and I had to loan my flashlight to the security people.
Wonderful. Yeah, we were using our phones to navigate the upper floors where our security office was. So that was fun. It is 9:15. It's 15 minutes till the end of it. If we get to like 5 minutes left and I haven't told the flooding number one, I'll tell that you.
How about the most positive story? Why not? Let's try it. Let's try and change it up a little bit. I know this one's gonna be hard, but
desperately thinks of a positive.
The process has been great.
Dude, the problem is that, like, so 99% of people come to Furrydelphia and have a great time, encounter very little issues, and, like, walk away. The problem is, the only people we ever have to deal with through the entire weekend are the people who decide that they want to be issues. So we walk away from the convention like, wow, everyone hated this. And then we'll talk to people afterwards, and they're like, the convention was awesome. The most positive story.
Maybe the first year of your closing ceremonies, positive story. That was a really long one.
The first year of closing ceremonies? I just told that story.
No,
here.
Remember Balcony?
Oh, God, yeah. Where they wouldn't stop throwing money. Yeah, like all of the apparently most wealthy furries in the building. Like, I think someone had won like $5,000 at the casino or something. Not $5,000, I'm exaggerating. But a lot of money. I know it was a lot of money because they would not stop throwing. So it became a choke where, like, they were up on the balcony, and every single time I'm sitting there and I'm like, I really want to talk about 2021 or 2020, because it was 2019 at the time. COVID wasn't a thing. I was like, I really want to talk about next year's con. And so it would be a thing where I would open my mouth and start to talk again, and all of them up there would go, "Hey!" and just start lobbing cash. Yeah. That went on for what, like 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Closing ceremonies was like 2 hours long.
Yeah.
If it happens again this year, I'm going to be pissed. They should just throw all the money at once so we can get it over.
So you can get a video.
I'm not taking video from the stage. That's your people's.
That's our job.
Yeah. You're the one supposed to get the video. What other questions we got? Yeah.
Yes, so I came here specifically for this story. Last year I was in an artist's alley for most of the time, but I was told something about a squash.
Oh, God. I wasn't going to talk about that because that's not a fun story.
But that's why I want to hear it.
Listen, I'm going to make it quick because I don't have any way of making that story funny. I do not know what happened, but someone, a furry, I don't know who they are, and if I did, I'm sure as hell wouldn't tell you, but they got identified either by security or another furry or something as an armed and dangerous fugitive. And so Upper Marion showed up, like, ready to boogie. And so I was in the middle of DJing the dance. And so I come out of the dance. I DJed, like, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. or something like that. So I come out of the dance at 11 p.m. And I, like, walk... I would start walking off the stage, and as I'm walking off, someone from public safety comes up to me and is like, "So SWAT is here." And I'm like, thinking myself, like, let's see how badly things got in the hour that I haven't been able to respond to crises. And they're like, "SWAT is here." And I'm like, I was expecting bad, but that's way worse than I could have thought. Yeah, so basically someone called in an armed and dangerous fugitive from the law, and so they showed up, like, battle gear, like, full dress to the nines, like, everything, riot shields, like, the whole mess. And they went up to this dude's floor. I do not know for a fact what happened. What I was told is that they basically knocked on the door opened... The person in the room saw all the cops. And again, I was just told this. I don't know if this actually happened. What I was told was, person in the room, door opens, see all the cops, freaked out, and turned around and started running into the room. Now, if you're a cop, and you're spying to an armed and dangerous fugitive, and they start running into their hotel room, what do you think?
Yeah,
they're going for a weapon. Again, I don't know for a fact that that happened, but basically they arrested the individual, grabbed his ID, pulled it out, and they're like, "Oh, that's not him." and in true law enforcement fashion, went, "Oops," and then just kind of left. So they basically just left, and then that person, being very traumatized in the moment, as you can imagine, we comped their registration, and the hotel comped their room, and I believe gave them some complimentary casino chips. And so they ended up having a great weekend. Again, though, I never met them. I was not told their name. I don't know anything about those details. I don't even know if what I just told you is right. All I know is I came out, and SWAT was in the lobby, and I was like... So now we need to get the National Guard here. That's like the next progression. Now we need tanks outside. So that'll come next. Yeah.
On a lighter note, did Adriana have a blue
Yeah! I didn't get to meet them! Oh, I'm so angry! The Harlem freaking Globetrotters showed up at the hotel last year. I walked in and they're like, yes, the Harlem Globetrotters are here. And I was like, excuse me? They just kind of rolled up on a bus and got off. And I was like off somewhere else. I came out and they're like, yeah, they went up to their room. I'm like, did you get to meet them? And they're like, yeah. Oh, no one called me. Man, when something's going wrong, these people are like, call Drake, tell him, we gotta get him here right now. But the moment something really cool starts happening, they're like, just let happen. If he shows up, he shows up. When the Harlem Globetrotters or someone famous arrives at the hotel, you should come to me with the same urgency. Because I want to meet them. Anyway, yeah, but that did actually happen last year. I don't know about that, but I do know the Globetrotters were there. Their bus was outside. Crazy. Crazy. I want to tell the flooding story, but I've got time for a quick second. Who else wants to know something? Dirty secrets and all. Yeah, Booth.
How did they trick you into becoming a contractor?
I did it willingly.
Sorry.
I did it for power and clout. Except about 5 minutes into it, I realized that nobody actually knows who runs conventions. Aside from Uncle Kage, because Uncle Kage is the designated con chair of the planet Earth. But, no, everyone knows who Uncle Kage is, but it's funny. You know, sometimes I get people it's amusing to me, because like 5 years ago, I was running around, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, with a lot more hair on my head. Like, I want to start a convention, talking to people and getting their advice. And, like, now the same kind of people come to me now and then. And I've definitely met people who legitimately, when I say I did it for clout, I am obviously joking. But I meet people who that is actually their goal. And you can tell that they're like, I want to be famous in the fandom. And my response to them is like, okay, name a con chair. Tell me a con chair that you know of. And they're like, Uncle Kage. I'm like, cool, next. And they're like, and I'm like, tell me who runs for Apocalypse. And they're like, and I'm like, tell me who runs Anthro New England, or Furthermore, or FC, or Texas Furry Fiesta, or MFF.
Used to be Istanbul for TFF.
Okay, we're not trying to be a know-it-all. Every now and then you're going to know at least one. I get it. But I go there and I'm like, here's the list of 150 furry conventions that happen on planet Earth. Please let me know which of these con chairs you know. And they're like, well, I know Kage. And I'm like, but that's it. You know why? Because no one gives a shit who does what I do. At the end of the day, no one really cares who I am, right? What matters is that the con's here and the con happens. And so I did this. I mean it literally, all right? They asked Tolkien, why did you write The Lord of the Rings? And he said, because I wanted to read The Lord of the Rings, but it hadn't been written yet. And so, like, literally, why did you start Furadelphia Train? Because I wanted to fucking be there. But it didn't exist yet. And no one else was going to make it happen. That's for sure. Other people tried. Oh, other people tried to take this shit right out from under me. And I was like, nope. Gosh, the number of people who came to me and were like, you should let me be the con chair instead, actually happened many times. But, yeah, I think I'm doing an alright job. It's 9:56. I got one more flooding story. I'm going to tell it super, super, super fast, and I'm going to see if I can get to anyone. Someone check in the schedule and see if there's another event in this room at 10 o'clock.
I don't think there is.
There's not. Alright, so we go a couple minutes then, is what it is. So, year one, I'm like walking through the hotel on the second floor, just kind of like casual. I was on my way back to my room. That's right. I'm on my way back to my room to go to bed. It's like 2:45 in the morning. I'm like, I'm going to go to sleep because I'm tired. Saturday night. And so I'm walking back on the mezzanine, which was floor two. And as I'm walking through the hallways, I notice water trickling down the wall. And I'm like, That's not right. That shouldn't be doing that. So I go up to the hotel, or I go back down to the lobby, and I start walking up to the front desk, ready to be like, tell them what I saw. And someone else comes up to me, and they're like, "Drain," and I'm like, "Yeah, the hotel's flooded. I know." And they're like, "How do you know?" I'm like, "Cause I saw it, my eyes." So they were like, other people were already privy to this, and so they like, "Yeah, it's on the sixth floor." So I go up to the sixth floor, and I knock on the door, or we knock on the door. Public safety was already up there, and so I kind of poke my head in. I'm like, "Do you mind if I come in?" They're like, "Yeah, sure, that's fine." So I come in. There's these very embarrassed-looking gentlemen in the room who I won't obviously say names, but they're looking very humiliated, and I'm like, "It's all right. No judgment. You're not in trouble. Just let me know what happened. I'm just curious." They're like, "Well, I got in the bathtub." So there's the two of them, right? The one's like, "I was already passed out in bed." Okay, fine. It's 2:45 in the morning. Viable story. The other one's like, "So I laid down in bed and I laid down in the bathtub and I pulled the drain shut and I turned on the water and started filling it." Like, that's strange. Never met someone who fills the tub while they're in it, but okay. So they started filling the tub while they were in it, and they just kind of went like that. Oh, no. And then they were out. And then an hour later, they woke up with water cascading out of the tub and out of the bathroom.
It's a water
and
bed.
Into the hallway and into the carpet and under the trim and through the walls. And so water was dripping through the structure of the hotel all the way down and all into the hallway. So the sixth floor hallway was soaking wet. The floor soaking wet. And so I felt very bad for the two guys, and they're like, "Are we going to be in trouble, blah, blah." I'm like, "I mean, you're not in trouble with Philadelphia because it happens, you know, shit happens. That's what it is. I can't say what the hotel's going to say." In the end, the hotel doesn't care. The hotel has insurance, so they don't give a shit. But there's two reasons this is funny. Reason number one was the dude who was a normie across the hall from this, when they pulled out the wet vac and started vacuuming the carpet at 3 a.m. And he comes out in his friggin' boomer pajamas. You know what I mean. "Why are you making all this racket? Blah, 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 blah." And they're like, "Sir, bunch of water got on the floor. We have to vacuum it up. I'm very sorry for the disturbance." And so this dude is like, "Well, I need to go down to the front desk and complain." And I'm standing there and I'm like, "You're going to go complain. Because they are vacuuming up like 6 inches of water out of the carpet. What do you want them to do? Leave it there until a time that's convenient for you?" So this dude's walking through the hallway, finding nothing wrong with this situation. Into the elevators, and I'm like, "I have to follow this man." So I get in the elevator, and I'm just standing there, like, looking, like, and he's just, like, not even looking at me because he knows he's being ridiculous. You can see it on his face. He's like, "I know that I'm making way more of a scene out of this than is necessary." Because he wanted them to comp his hotel. That's what it was. He didn't say that. So he comes out of the... up to the hotel. "You people, blah, 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 blah." In the end, the front desk person's just like, "What do you want us to do? Leave water in the carpet outside your room?" No, not happening. That dude was very upset, and man, you love to see it. I really like when people who have unreasonable demands get denied. It's really great. Everyone's like so used to this mentality where if I complain, then the people in charge will give me what I want because customer service. No, because we don't have to give you what I want. Because what are you going to do? Leave and never come back? I love when people who are horrible are like, you know, we all worked retail at some point. You know when people who are horrible are like, well, I'm never coming back. And you're like, oh no! I so wanted to see you again! Yeah. They're just like, that's okay. Corporate will be fine without your $120 a night stay. So that, hilarious. And thing number two was hotel negotiations from year one to year two. They gave us the contract, and they're just like, yeah, it's the same contract from last year. Don't worry about it. It's the same thing. We didn't increase the money. It's the same contract. Just, you know, sign it and get it back to us. It's the same, though. I'm like, that's suspicious. So I read through the contract, and I get, like, halfway through it, buried in the middle of it, was this lovely little clause that they wrote up that was like, the event is responsible for all damages that happen to the hotel on guest room floors and in guest rooms. And I called them up, and I'm like, you guys are smoking crack. Did you think I was not going to see this? And they're like, well, and I'm like, we are not responsible for shit. We're responsible for anything. If the hotel people break the hotel, then you charge them. That's why you charge your credit cards for incidentals. So, yeah, they try to make us responsible for that, but I read my contract. So, that didn't happen. So, also, very amusing. And that's flooding story number one, technically. Out of two. Would you like to make number three happen?
Let's go!
Please don't. I have like five more minutes, yeah.
Weird radio calls.
Weird radio calls?
I heard the banjo once. They just played it.
So many weird radio calls. They go all the time. What was the weird radio call? What was like a weird, yeah, what weird things have we heard over the radio?
I'm trying to remember.
That's because you don't actually work. You just goof off all the time.
Yeah, some people were fighting in the fountain or something like that. That's the only thing, but I'm like, because I hear it in the radio, just garble, I'm like,
yeah, attendee on attendee altercations are always really fun calls to get. Probably the SWAT call was a really fun radio call out. Okay, not a Philadelphia call out, but my favorite thing I've ever heard come across a radio while working event was MFF. I was like at MFF, this is a quick story. I was at MFF, I was doing patrol, so I'm just walking around looking for bastards like you who are breaking the rules. And I'm standing there and I'm like getting to the end of my shift, but I don't have anything else to do. I'm texting people on Telegram, but they're all too shit-faced to like respond to me. They're all drunk. Because the problem with being staff is all your friends you want to hang out with get drunk at like 2 in the afternoon. And then you're trying to text them to hang out and they're like, blah, 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 blah. So you're like, well, I can't hang out. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, well, I can't hang out with any of my friends. I don't know where everyone else is. Maybe I'll just stay on staff. It gives me something to do. So I'm sitting there. I'm like about to radio the control room to be like, hey, just pull me on another 2 hours. Whatever. I'll cover you. And as I'm about to radio that, a call comes through the radio. And they go, control, be advised. Hands up if you've been to MFF. You know the hotel? Okay. Control, be advised. We have attendees climbing their balconies to get to the roof. So there's like these balconies, and so these guys, who I assume are on cocaine, are like, because this is like a 12-story building.
Yeah.
And dude, people who don't fear heights, I fear them. So they're like, okay, so it is a metal railing, and they are like... And then reaching up to the next balcony and pulling themselves up onto now a stranger's balcony and then doing it again to get to the roof. And I hear that coming through and I'm like, never mind. I'm going to bed. You have fun dealing with that. Fortunately, the casino locked all your windows, so you can't go on your balcony. Ha! Yeah, I got like I can stick around for like 3 minutes. What? It's 10:07. Did anyone else have anything, or are we feeling pretty satisfied? Have I entertained you sufficiently? Yes.
Worst food story.
Food story? We asked for dinner. So, we didn't ask for dinner. Sorry. Year two, we asked for. So we had the pre-registration lunch, which unfortunately now, by the way, there's too many freaking pre-registrations. We can't afford that anymore. So that had to go away. because if we bought lunch for everyone who pre-regged, it would be hundreds of thousands of dollars, which we don't have. So, but at the time we were doing it, and so we got pre-reg lunch, and so I told them to order a certain amount of meals. And what I said was, it's a buffet. We don't know how many people are going to show up and get this food. Put the food out until you have exhausted the amount of money that we gave you. And at the end of it, just don't worry about it. Anyone who comes late, right? If you show up like 10 minutes before we close and you're like, I want food. Oh, well, we're out. You missed out. You should have been here sooner. They didn't really get the memo. So they needed, in their minds, they're like, well, we needed to preserve the image of the hotel because we can't not have food for the guests who are coming here to take food. And I'm like, yeah, you can. They got here late. Fuck them. But the hotel didn't have the same mentality. So they put out literally like chicken nuggets. Sorry, round one was like all this really nice food, and they're like, we're out of food. What can we make real quick? Frozen chicken nuggets, french fries, ketchup, and like toddler food. Because they just like put out all this food that's like for children, and they're like, And then they came to me and they're like, we had to put out all this food, now you have to pay us for it. And I'm like, I didn't tell you to do that. You didn't get my signature on that. Good luck getting my money for that. Didn't happen. Fuck. Worst food, Philadelphia lunch, Saturday, 2018, chicken nuggets. And the reason it sucked, they weren't shaped like dinosaurs. Everyone knows that dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets taste the best. That's probably a good place to end. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know what you guys should go do? Is go to the dance! Because that's going to be pretty cool if you're